As you know, we're in this season of glory. We're between the Feast of the Transfiguration and the Solemnity of the Assumption. I have spoken about this a couple of times and noted it, but I want to point out this pattern once again, because between these two feast days, there's a lot of martyrs and a lot of self-denial going on, and that just strikes us as being not very glorious. So on the Feast of St. Dominic, which was just a couple days ago, I mentioned that the heresy that he was trying to overcome was Albigensianism, and the Albigensians were very ascetical people. Well, first of all, they thought matter was evil, so they just were trying to abstain from all participation in the material world. And that was very impressive to people because they were quite sacrificial. They were wrong, but in contrast, the church officials of the time, the bishops, the priests, even the religious, the monasteries, they were living very luxurious lives, sometimes very sensual lives, and the people could see the difference right away. I mean, they're not preaching, they're not practicing what they preach. So Dominic took on a life of austerity, poverty. Now, his contemporary is Saint Francis, and his contemporary today, Saint Clare, they took on this same approach of self-denial. St. Clare was a little bit younger, of course, than Dominic and Francis, but the same period of time. So that was Dominic. Then Sixtus, he was even before Dominic, that was the seventh. Sixtus and his deacon companions, they were martyrs. Then we had St. Edith Stein, she's a martyr. And yesterday we had St. Lawrence, he's a martyr. And with martyrs, you say, well, gosh, that's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate gift of self. But it's done by someone else. I mean, they're not killing themselves. Someone else is killing them. And you could say, if you're even taking a natural perspective, you could say, well, they're just standing up for what they believe. And some bad guy is the reason why they died. But when it comes to someone like St. Clare, today's saint, who lived in great austerity, great poverty, she's not a martyr. You could say, well, that seems even worse. From the worldly perspective, that seems even worse because she did it to herself. Nobody came up and killed her. No one came up and said, you can't drink wine for the rest of your life, or you can't eat meat anymore, or you have to sleep on the floor. She did that to herself. And that strikes the modern person, or maybe just the natural person, as kind of sick. Like, what's wrong with her? Even in the church, even in her own time, people said, she's going overboard. That's over the top. She shouldn't be that poor. She shouldn't deprive herself that much. She shouldn't be that vulnerable to the affliction of poverty. Well, what is the connection here? What is this? You know, we're talking in the Transfiguration and the Assumption about glory, about risen life, about victory, reward. Well, the connection is, in order to lay hold of that great reward, other things have to be set aside. Not because they're bad, but because we don't want to be distracted. We don't want to be tied down. Material things are good. Food is good. Wine is good. Comfort is good. I mean, God created good things, and we're supposed to appreciate them as good, but not as gods. Not as gods, not as idols. And the witness of someone like St. Clare is a reminder to us that what she has chosen is not against any of those good things, but she's chosen something that's so much more valuable that those things have no value, or they could even be seen as bad in a certain sense, meaning they could get in the way of running the race. And this is, I think, clear in today's readings as well. Now, in today's gospel, we have Jesus' very clear description of what it means to be his followers. Anyone who wants to follow him has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. Has to be willing to lose his life in order to save his life. And this is clear. And that, again, it sounds so negative, like, you know, denying and crosses and following and losing. And it just doesn't seem all that appealing if we look at it from the perspective of what we lose. Just like St. Clair's life just doesn't look all that appealing from the perspective of life in this world. Who would want to live like that? Didn't even sleep on a bed, just slept on wood. Well, what kind of life is that? But Jesus points out the reason for all this is not just to lose, not dying for dying's sake. It's for gain, and great gain. I love it how he asks this question. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What if you had all the comforts and all the pleasures and all the possessions? What if you had all that and lost your eternal salvation? Would that be good? Obviously not. So to have eternal salvation and not partake in some level of these good things makes perfect sense. He said, I'd rather have the goal, rather have the prize than some passing benefit. That's how Claire lived. In fact, if you read this quotation from her in the Animum Way, she says exactly this when people accused her of being too poor. This is what she said. They say we are too poor, but can a heart which possesses the infinite God be truly called poor? She didn't think of herself as poor. I mean, she knew she was embracing poverty. Poverty of spirit and literal poverty. She was really dependent. So she knew that she was poor on that superficial or natural sense. But she didn't feel poor at all because she knew the Lord. She had the Lord. She had the infinite God. And that's great richness. And this is what Jesus is referring to in this call to follow him. That line about profiting, gaining the whole world and losing it, your life, reminds me of that famous line from A Man for All Seasons. You probably know that when Thomas More was on trial. In fact, he was about to be sentenced to death. If he hadn't been sentenced already, I can't remember. But the man who testified against him, testified falsely against him, was Sir Richard Rich. And he had the insignia of, I don't remember what it was, some court official of Wales. Maybe he was like the head of the government of Wales or something like that. So he had a great, great high position in exchange for his perjury. And Thomas More says, you know, it profits not a man to gain the whole world, but for Wales, that's all you got. And this is Thomas about to have his head cut off or be thrown in beheaded. And so he's saying he doesn't have anything. He's been stripped of everything, right? And he had a higher position than Richard Rich had. He was the Chancellor of England. That had been stripped of him. All his money had been stripped of him. He's been cut off from his family. And yet he could say, well, what is that? What good is that? What's good is Wales? What good is being Chancellor of England? Better to be, enter into eternal life. This first reading also helps us understand this. Moses gives this series of questions to the people saying, well, think about this a little bit. Remember this. Did any God ever do such things for his people? And he lists all the great things God has done for his people. This reminds me of that talk of Pope Francis that we studied. I don't know if you got to that one where Pope Francis in the series on discernment talks about the necessity of reading the book of one's life. Did you hear that talk? And that passage where he says it's important to read the book of one's life, it's something like this. Go back and reflect on what God was doing through these stages of your life. Because he said, this is Pope Francis now, he said the natural thing is complaint about the things that went wrong all the time. And so we naturally can remember, this went wrong, I can't do this, I can't do that, and this person didn't do this for me. And he said, if you don't go back and read a little deeper, excavate the treasure, the buried treasure, well, you might miss the whole point. And here, Moses only brings out the good parts. yeah, you know, God saved you. He showed you these visions. He brought you out of Egypt, and he fought on your behalf. Moses doesn't mention the part about them being punished because they had a golden calf and the different things that went wrong in this, in the months before he says this, because they remember those things. They remember the bad things. They remember when they were hungry and thirsty, and they remember when they were complaining, and they're still complaining. So Moses is saying, okay, now no, read the book of your life as a community and see all the good things, and so that you know that there is one God and he loves you. He's chosen you. And he says this a couple of times. All this you were allowed to see so that you might know the Lord is God and there is no other. He's the one doing these things. This is why you must keep his statutes and commandments which I enjoin on you. This is why you should follow this way. Not because it's a punishment, it's because it's a burden, it's because you have to follow the rules, but because God is so good, and because you're better off following him than going astray again. So it's a same message, to recognize the benefit of being detached from, well, first of all, fighting sin, the benefit of fighting off sin, fighting temptation and rejecting sin, and repenting of sin, the benefit of that, and the benefit of following the way of the Lord, which does seem narrow and burdensome. It's a cross to our nature. It's difficult. It's a denial. It's a death. The benefit of that is so great that if we understand it, we'll willingly do it. In fact, we're happy to do it, like St. Clair. This is one of the effects of this self-denial and detachment for the sake of the kingdom. It makes you happier, makes you freer. We heard yesterday in St. Lawrence, he was a cheerful giver. That's accurate. That's a genuine fruit of this way of life. And if we're living in a way of life that makes us unhappy, well, then we're not doing it right. It should make us happier, even now, but especially happy because we know our reward is great in heaven. This is what Jesus says. The Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory. There's mention of glory again. And then he will repay each according to his conduct. Oh, well, that's the reward of being a follower of Jesus, of denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him is so great, that reward is so great, that it's worth any price.